On Sunday, Bolivian President Evo Morales stepped down from office after 14 years in power to ease the increasingly violent protests that have rattled the country in recent weeks. The country's military pressured Morales to resign after a report from the Washington, D.C.-based Organization of American States cited voting irregularities during Bolivia's October 20th election. Morales has since fled to Mexico, seeking political asylum. But his departure comes at a time of increasing political unrest across Latin America, in countries like Chile, Ecuador, and Venezuela. Joining me now are Jorge Alves, an associate professor of political science at Queens College CUNY, and Greg Grandin, a history professor at Yale University. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yes, happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
So, Jorge, on Tuesday, Bolivian Senator Jeanine Añez appointed herself acting president of Bolivia. Was this expected, and what do we know about her?
Well, to the extent that we can say anything was expected in this kind of situation, is she was the last person standing who was in line, right? When Morales was asked to resign and then resigned, many other people from his party and his government resigned as well. She represents a completely different group than the group that had been governing. You know, she's more conservative. She was a business person, a couple of different things. She said a couple of things that clearly state that she's bringing in some different views. So, for example, her cabinet doesn't have any indigenous people on it. It's more connected to religious right, more conservative in terms of pro-market views as well. So there's clearly a change here. Now, whether her taking the power of the presidency, considering there was no quorum, we're at the technicality range here when there's a rupture, where we don't know exactly if you're following the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, but clearly she has the support of the army. It seems to be that in that vacuum, to the extent that anybody's leading right now, that's her.
And I want to ask a little bit more about her comments that she's made regarding indigenous peoples. Has she made racist comments about this community? And if so, is this an affront to Morales' heritage and what he represented for Bolivia?
I would say that she is an out-and-out white supremacist. She represents a sector of the opposition that is extremely, extremely racist. You can look through her Twitter feed before this happened, and she has some remarkable quotes about Indians should stay in the countryside. One of the first acts was to return the Bible into the National Palace because it's been polluted and corrupted by indigenous cosmology or indigenous spiritual beliefs over the last 10 years. And I just want to point out, it's not just really a technicality, it's out and out coercion. The next in line to the presidency after the forced resignation, the coup against Evo Morales and his vice president, was another member of Morales' party. And these people resigned because they were terrorized. I mean, the houses have been looted. And since then, let me say, courageously, the next in line, the member of Morales' party, has tried to enter the National Palace. And she has been denied, prevented by the police and the military. This is just an ongoing coup.
Greg, you're definitively calling it a coup. How do you define that? Because there's been a lot of back and forth over whether this was a coup or an uprising. Why are you choosing to define it in that way?
If this isn't a coup, then the word coup has no meaning. He was forced to resign by the head of the military. That's pretty much textbook definition of a coup, even if people might dispute some of the other facts or what the process and larger context is.
But I think it's also important to say that democratic breakdowns are a longer process. Even during the Morales government, what you're seeing is that he's going up for his fourth term. The Constitution says that you're only allowed two. So what we're seeing is a longer process of erosion, either chipping away slowly or a more abrupt type of intervention.
Jorge, I do want to get into the complicated relationship that the United States has had with Bolivia since Morales took office in 2005 and what we know about the role the United States has played in all of this so far.
I think not just with Bolivia, but with Latin America in general. This goes back to imperial times, or it goes back to, you know, the Cold War. And these are the memories that are in everybody's heads. From what I can see, I don't think in this situation, the United States actually needed to get involved directly. There's a bunch of macro processes that have been working towards this kind of crisis. The end of the commodity boom, the fact that all these countries now, because of neoliberal reforms in the 1990s, are more exposed to international markets, which groups are getting represented, which kinds of policies. You have the pink tide or the left turn that kind of crested in the 2000s and after the commodity boom now has seemed to turn. And Morales was one of the last survivors of this. There's no other left leaders really to stand up and support through the OAS or through other institutions. And there's also this rise of this conservative backlash, right, now tied to conservative evangelicals and things like that that are rising across Latin America. And if you think about it, that's also a transnational stretch. I mean, who brought Protestantism to Latin America? It was missionaries that come from here, right? Changing the nature of Latin American politics as well, not just in Bolivia, but in Brazil and a bunch of other places.
Following on that, I wanted to bring Greg in here because I want to hear, Greg, your thoughts on what the United States' presence in Bolivia has meant for Bolivians and the country.
Well, the United States between 1899 and 1994 overthrew successfully 41 governments, presided over 41 regime changes in Latin America. I do want to say that all of those coups, you could say, had popular support. The president might have been problematic. There was a larger context, but U.S. support and intervention was crucial. I agree that there's a larger context in which Morales was operating, but it's not so much what the U.S. did. The U.S. always has to act in tandem with local actors. In this case, the local actors are scary. It's not just Inez, it's also Luis Camacho, who represents the lowlands, a really fascistic organization of white supremacy, that he has been central in this coup. He's been called the Bolsonaro of Bolivia. It represents a new kind of very aggressive Trump-like political formation. Morales has presided over 15 years of unbelievable, one, economic growth, two, economic equalization, and three, political stability for a large degree. And this is unique for Bolivia. Bolivia is no stranger to popular uprisings. It's the remarkable political transformation and opening up and democratization of society that Morales has presided over.
I want to bring in Georgie again to that point, because we see Morales's departure, and we're also seeing the rise of a couple of things happening across Latin America. We've seen leftist leaders regain power in countries like Mexico and Argentina. We've seen Bolsonaro, far right, gaining power in Brazil. And we're also seeing tensions playing out, particularly in countries like Brazil, of indigenous populations fighting back. There have been some folks who say that what happened with Morales here was less about election irregularities and voting irregularities and more about the ouster of indigenous power and indigenous movement. Georgie, how do you respond to that? What does Morales' departure mean for the rest of Latin America right now, given all of those trends that we're seeing?
First, I'd like to say that I agree with Greg with the point is that, you know, one of the benefits of the Morales, you know, period is that it was a stability that Bolivia is not used to. It is one of the highest in terms of countries in terms of experiencing interrupted presidencies, right? So Morales is the 27th, counting impeachments, coups, whatever. So it's a period of relative stability. But I think the important thing is to not mix the socioeconomic policies that it stands for, the inclusion of previously excluded groups, the racial groups that had been excluded forever. There had never been an indigenous president of Bolivia before, you know, declining poverty, declining inequality, things like that, with the institutional part, which is the autocratic temptations of that Latin American leaders tend to have, this feeling that I alone can save and represent the people and save the country. So I think the problem that the danger in Bolivia with some of these less than democratic, certainly not liberal rights, is that the indigenous portion of this, the equality part of the leftist platform, will get rolled into all the other stuff that people are angry about. Just like in the Bolsonaro situation, right? So because of an economic crisis and corruption, you ended up having a real step back in terms of policies of inclusion of racial minorities, of LGBTQ types of policies. We're going to be a God-loving nation again. So the danger is that in this backlash that brings together people who are conservative in different ways, right? Economically conservative, some people socially conservative, some people religiously conservative. In this backlash, you get all of these unquestionably positive policies introduced by leftist governments, and they're going to all get thrown out with the bathwater. And I think this is a danger for Latin America now. I think what we're seeing is that leaders during tough times, they get punished much more often. And this is why, for example, the president of Argentina right now lost now to the left. So it's not necessarily a left-right necessarily thing. I mean, I think it's a horrible thing to be a president during hard economic times internationally. This reflects internally in terms of economic growth and so in terms of social protest. And then this creates this rupture between the opposition and the incumbents. And democracy is what? Democracy is a system to generate legitimacy to rule. For that, people need to see each other as opponents, not enemies. And this is clearly not the case in this Bolivian election, right? So nobody trusts anybody to run this election. So when Evo Morales extends the, you know, his hand out and says, okay, fine, OAS calls for new elections, let's have new elections. There was this backlash of people who clearly, for one reason or another, don't believe that they can trust the process. And this is bad. This is bad for democracy, not only in Bolivia, but in Latin America in general.
Jorge Alves is an associate professor of political science at Queens College, and Greg Grandin is a professor of history at Yale University. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.